Earlier this month, Arizona Opera in Phoenix debuted the world premiere of Riders of the Purple Sage, based on the novel by Zane Grey. And though the music is the star of the opera, the visual art surrounding the stage certainly played an important role. As the opera's director, Fenlon Lamb, told me, the secret ingredient was the work of Arizona artist Ed Mell.
He is, you know, this Southwest artist that just says it all in one painting. And I'll focus on the clouds of Ed Mell. And then he's done this wonderful hard set that has the canyon walls. And so we get the harsh against the soft and how that works together, human versus nature.
After hearing that about Mell, I wanted to learn more about his long career, which began nearly five decades ago. So I met him at his art studio in Midtown Phoenix. I started by asking him why he was excited to contribute to Riders of the Purple Sage.
As an artist, one of the great opportunities to be able to design sets for a play or an opera or something like that. And I always sort of thought about it, how interesting it would be, and it just fell in my lap. So I thought it was great, and it, you know, and it was because it was Western subject matter. I felt very comfortable with taking it on.
And we talk about somebody who's in mystery novels that the city is a character. Your art really was a character in many ways because it set the tone so well. Did you feel that way in watching it?
Well, a lot of people have told me that they felt that it was an integral part of the opera for sure, and I'm very honored that it carried that much weight.
Do you feel like you are someone who is a, I'm going to say, grinder? You're there doing it every day. You've done it for many, many years. Or are you someone who sort of waits for that moment of inspiration?
Inspiration usually comes when you get to work every day. And I've always said I've come to work inspired and the painting failed. And I've come to work uninspired and things started to happen. So you never know, but you got to put yourself in front of an easel to make it happen.
Is that something you look forward to every day?
I do. It's an integral part of my life, really. I first got interested, I was working in New York in advertising and illustration after going to art school in Los Angeles, and a friend invited me to do a summer arts program on the Hopi Reservation in 1970. And at that point in time, I was kind of lose my interest in being told what to do creatively, as you do in advertising and illustration. I decided it would be a great venture and adventure away from New York City, and little did I know it would inspire me to do what I'm doing for the rest of my life, probably.
Were you nervous when you made a dramatic change like that?
Well, when I came here, I was still doing illustration and working with my brothers. We were doing some etch glass things. So I made sure I had a way to make a living while I made the transfer. But the first year I painted, I made more money than the last year I did as an illustrator. So it didn't take long for me to figure this is the way to go.
Over the course of those four plus decades, since 1970, what has changed about your art? And have there been conscious changes or things that just sort of flowed from the creativity?
When I first started painting, you got to remember I came from New York City, so I was modernism was very high on the way I wanted to approach it. And my first pieces were very minimal. And as time went on, they became more complex. And then I even started evolving into my version of reality. And at a certain point, then I revisited my modernism, started doing it in a more abstracted way. And so I've got basically three or four variations of my style, and I still visit them all. And I think it keeps me fresh in all areas.
Do you visit them all based on how you're feeling in a particular day, or do you actually set goals for yourself as far as what you want to do?
I think it's usually if I start feeling like I'm getting bored in one area, I go to the other. A lot of the abstracted pieces start out as small studies that I'm basically put down some lines and see what they suggest. It's a little bit like automatic writing, I think, where you just let it take you to place you probably had no vision of it originally.
How does it feel to be someone who's so associated with Arizona, with a place?
A lot of these things that I've done over the years are kind of, as they say, bucket list items. I did the stamp for the centennial in 2012. I've got a bronze in Scottsdale called Jackknife that's been there since 93. And I've done work for Karchner Caverns and a few other public things. So to me, I like that. You know, it's something that, you know, your grandkids might be able to look at if they can't look at you.
Did you think that when you started doing this and when you were an illustrator and back in 1970, did you think something like this would happen for you?
No, I thought I was going to be an illustrator in New York for the rest of my life. But I saw guys living the dream there, and it wasn't my dream. I couldn't wait to get back out west, taking trips out here. It just, there's a saying, all art directors want to be illustrators, and all illustrators want to be fine artists. So it's always in the back of your mind to be a fine artist. And I certainly played with a lot of drawing and stuff, even in the early days in New York. But one day you just decide, okay, I'm going to make that transition. And you go out and buy yourself an expensive easel, and that's a commitment right there. And so that's kind of what I did. I had to commit myself to it.
That is Arizona artist Ed Mell. He and I met recently at his art studio in Midtown Phoenix.